Hello everyone, I hope you're doing well. I am Supriya Anchan from the Technology Advisory Team at Nextime. And welcome to another topic in our series themed Women in Technology. The aim of this initiative is to connect with women from across the globe, making a difference in their area of work. I am joined today by Shivangi Nadkarni, co-founder and CEO of Arka, a data privacy specialist company. Shivangi comes with a rich experience of over 24 years in the domains of information risk, data privacy, and networks. She has handled multiple roles over the years. She has authored the first textbook on data privacy in India for DSCI, a NASSCOM body, for their DCPP program. She is also on the Asia Advisory Board of the International Association of Privacy Professionals, the world's largest privacy body. Shivangi is a faculty for advanced privacy courses and a regular speaker at various forums. Welcome to this podcast, Shivangi. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Supriya, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Shivangi, what are your areas of specialization? I mean, your profile says that you have 24 years of experience in varied domains. So what would you consider your area of specialization?
I think my areas of so-called specialization in quotes have evolved over the years. You know, I started off working in the area of networking. Then I moved into the world of encryption, and you know, that's how my journey with the security started. And then I moved into you know, one aspect which was privacy, and then now for the last decade I've been focusing more and more on data privacy, or rather I would say the whole the area is rather combination of business, law, and technology, and data being at the core of it, and what is the impact of all of this globally. So it's a fascinating field, and I hate to call myself a specialist because it's an evolving field and nobody has answers. There are more questions than answers, but it's also an exciting time to be in this field because you know, things are changing by the day, and the world is grappling to sort of keep up, and so it's fascinating. So I would say that's what I focus on, and I feel all that I have done in the past has sort of culminated into it's all come together in the area that I work in. So that's the interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we all keep hearing about data privacy, data protection. There are so many pop-ups which keep coming on websites, and whether you agree, you disagree, you know. So it's quite fascinating and rather new for the consumer as well to understand what it is. And you keep hearing about, you know, data privacy law coming up somewhere and data privacy protection updates happening somewhere. So it's quite the thing that's, you know, I think in technology, this is quite the thing that's kind of happening around these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, my company, we focus on helping organizations gear up to meet all these, you know, regulatory expectations, consumer expectations, and so on. And they are also struggling to even figure out what needs to be done. It's a completely new paradigm, and so on. So as I said, these are very exciting times. And so that's what I work on.
Shivangi, what advice would you give to someone who would want to kind of think of being an entrepreneur? You know, when you think of taking up a challenge such as that, you think about so many things that you have to handle. So what advice would you give for someone who wants to take that path?
Good question. Multiple things. I mean, you know, first you need to sort of what I call set your base. So make sure that, you know, you are set from a stable, from a financial perspective personally, because, you know, you're getting into a journey which is long, and contrary to what the media keeps talking about, you know, unicorns and so on, 99 out of 100 companies do not reach that stage. Most people end up not seeing success. So you have to have a financial sort of cushion to be able to be able to become an entrepreneur. And when I say cushion, it's more of security. Your family shouldn't be struggling. Having said that, it is also, you know, I always keep telling people, you actually don't need all that much. You know, our lifestyles have expanded over the years to want more and more. But in reality, one doesn't require all that much to be able to lead your life. But once you've sort of established that basic layer, of course, you need clarity in terms of which broad area you want to. Usually, it may not be just one product or one technology or one tool, because you may start with one idea, but you have to broaden your perspective and be open, be flexible. You may think you're getting into something, but, you know, opportunities open up for you and you end up doing so much more than what you initially thought you would do. So be flexible. Only when you're flexible and open will you start seeing opportunities that come your way. So that's another thing. Third thing is what I call persistence. You just have to stay the course, you know, no matter what. And as, you know, when professionals become entrepreneurs, you always tend to look over your shoulder and look at what your peers are doing, what your batchmates are doing. And, you know, they always, somebody who's much more secure with a monthly salary coming into their bank accounts. And it's very tempting to go back into the corporate world. Opportunities are a lot more as well. So if you keep doing that, looking over your shoulder, one foot out and one foot in, it's never going to happen. You have to be whole and soul into it. And just stay the course, because, you know, once you decide there is no other alternative and you have to do it, you will do it and you'll find ways of doing it. Otherwise, you know, the first few roadblocks that come your way, you're going to run away. And believe me, there will be a lot more. Lot of those coming your way. But it is, entrepreneurship for me has been the most liberating thing I have ever done. You know, I've had a traditional corporate career for well over a decade. And then suddenly you know, it takes you a while to realize that there are no boundaries because, you know, you're so boxed in your job when you're doing when you're in a traditional corporate job, you have everything defined and the boxes are defined for you. And very rarely can you sort of step out of it unless you're, you know, at a very senior level. But I think entrepreneurship frees you of all those boundaries. It takes a while to even realize that there are no boundaries and then sort of get going. So I think it's very exhilarating with lots of, you know, downturns. I would be unfair to not talk of the downs. But as I said, you have to persist and keep at it and be very open to opportunities, because, you know, opportunities come your way in the most unexpected of places. To say those were the few things if you were to ask me top of mind, these are the things that come by.
I mean, Shivangi, I totally get, you know, it's purely coming from the heart, because usually people would not give such kind of advice saying that you need to have a cushion, financial cushion, before, you know, jumping into your dreams. Most importantly, you should be persistent. And the thing that you said of looking over the shoulder, I think that happens to all of us. We're like, oh my God, is he doing, or is she doing better? Or, you know, I'm not able to crack any deal this month, but at least, you know, they are getting that monthly package coming into it. Was this the right decision? Was it not? That conflict that you have within, I think fighting that and then saying, no, I'm on track, is what you actually mean when you said you have to be on course at all times and be persistent to that.
Right.
Shivangi, see, over the last 2 years, you know, we've all seen a paradigm shift in the way we are working, and technology is the only thing that's kept us connected. So have you experienced any disruptions or any where technology has been an enabler to the business continuity of you or your clients? Would you like to share any experience?
Yes, Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, so as in our company, we've always done what we call remote delivery, which was pre-COVID, you know, we used to get a lot of pushback, you know, with very few people accepting of it. They wanted somebody to come and sit across and so on and so forth. And then, you know, after, of course, once the lockdown happened, you know, people were definitely much more accepting of the fact that, you know, you can work remotely. And so for us as a company, we didn't see much of a problem because we were geared to work remotely. It's just that instead of an office, you started working from home. But half our employees were anyway working from home right from the beginning. So this wasn't so big a deal. And I think now what has happened is this has given people a lot of flexibility to operate from their comfort zones and comfort areas. So most people being at home and, you know, therefore being able to operate from there makes a lot of difference. I think as a business, it has given, I think, and I'm seeing this with so many others, clients, friends, that they're suddenly able to hire talent from anywhere. You know, earlier, they used to be very restricted. You had to hire people from within your geography. You had to hire people who were willing to move to your geography and so on. And now suddenly you realize you can hire people from anywhere. And that has opened up vistas which were, you know, which didn't seem possible earlier. And obviously technology has been the enabler. So I think we are very blessed. Had this happened maybe even 3-4 years earlier, I don't think the, you know, pervasiveness of the internet was there. And so I think it has enabled everybody to be able to, because, you know, people have at least mobile devices and so on. So I think it has enabled people to really operate seamlessly. Of course, there are, you know, the benefits and of course, there are also the downsides. Of not being able to, there's a huge social aspect to working with teams and your, you know, we are all human beings. We crave that social life and social part of, and I miss that. And I think everybody misses going to an office, you know, hanging out with colleagues. So many things get done across, you know, the table, you know, being able to say stuff. Now it is a lot more structured in terms of you have to schedule calls and messaging and all of that. So I think productivity, which comes from what is called osmosis, is has gone down. It's absent. But then I think productivity in jobs which require you to concentrate has gone up because, you know, you get that quiet time. So it really depends on the nature of work. I mean, I think some of us who work in the tech sector are very blessed because we can operate like this. There are so many sectors where you cannot, right? So you have to go face to face. So I think these are a few things that we all count as blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, pre-COVID, when we would speak to our clients about, you know, doing a remote kind of a thing, that was so unheard of. The acceptability itself was not there. So it's like, you know, if you're not on location, you can't do a good job.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, during COVID, you have managed to do a very good job. And it was quite faster because the travel time, stay time, everything is saved. You're concentrating, you're giving extra time there.
Yeah.
That is there. But yes, the social aspect is something which we miss, meeting people, meeting families. That is something which we miss.
Yeah, totally. But people are doing, I mean, I'm seeing audits happening remotely, which was an unthinkable thing earlier, you know. So I think it's amazing how much can be done when technology is enabled.
And probably when we either have an open mind or we're just pushed to that situation that now this is the only way out.
Yes. In fact, I draw parallels from, you know, my journey as an entrepreneur. When you're pushed to the wall, you're forced to think of creative ways to make things happen, which you would otherwise not, you know. So I think same things happened with the lockdown as well.
Shivangi, can you share a couple of tips with women aspiring to be leaders in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is a leader. I have a slightly different take from you. It's not that you have to be at the top of the hierarchy to be a leader. You can be right at the bottom, but you know, as long as you're able to influence things around you, makes you a leader. So all of us are capable of being leaders. You don't have to have a set of followers for it. And I think particularly for women, I always tell them, you know, switch off that gender switch in your head. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that a woman cannot do, right? Everything is possible. It's just that sometimes, you know, we limit ourselves with our perspectives. And, you know, as long as you open your mind and know that you're capable of doing anything that you want to do, I think you'll do well. There's nothing stopping a woman from doing what she wants to. So go out there and conquer the world, as I like to say.
That's a very, very interesting and inspiring thought. Thank you so much, Shivangi, for being with us on this podcast.
Thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure.
Your interesting thoughts, the excerpts, your journey, and your humble approach that, you know, that comes when you speak to everything. The simplicity with which you look at things, it's really inspiring.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful conversation, and I'm sure our listeners will find this session to be an interesting and useful one. To all our listeners, thank you for being part of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did it putting it together. Stay tuned for another interesting conversation coming up in this series. Until then, stay safe and stay inspired.